He said, I can talk by phone. I said, wow.
Well, I'm really
sorry about that. I'm going to be praying for you now.
And I hung up the phone. And then my spirit was really quickened to call him back and say, Ron, I hung up the phone and the Lord really quickened my spirit that I need to pray with you. And if I pray with you over the phone, he said, please do. And as I prayed with him for his healing and for God to take control of that situation, on the other end, he was weeping and saying, yes, God, yes.
It was really the right thing to do. So Sunday, I told my mother-in-law about that. And Sunday morning, she came in and she said, Larry, I heard something. In the mess, there's a message.
Hmm. Amen.
Wow. I went to church Sunday morning, and Greg Haskell talked about our favor and how we were empowered to do the things that Jesus did. We're empowered to pray for others and expect healing. We're empowered to do the things as God directs. And as I'm sitting there listening to that favor, I had a book. Eddie Mayfield and I had lunch with the pastor a few weeks ago. And he was talking about church structure. And I said, you know, Dr. Bill Blanchard was the pastor at Mountain Park First Baptist when I was the director of men's ministry. While he was there, he wrote a book on church structure. As I was talking to Greg, I said, I've got one of those books. I'll bring it. Well, Sunday morning is when I had it with me. Now, it's easy to look back and see a step-by-step-by-step process. Even to the point that Greg's message that morning fit in so well with what had taken place.
Amen.
With Ron, my mother-in-law's impact to me. Because I added to that, in the mess, there's a message. But then there's a messenger.
Mm.
If we are not where we need to be in our relationship with God, we will not be called on to be that messenger. I believe that. Because when we understand that message and we are to share it with others, we will do it with a passion, a level of faith that is empowering not only to us but those that we're speaking to.
Amen.
We will be influential in a way that there will be no doubt but what that's from God. And as I thought about that, and I went up to give that book to Greg, and I said, Greg, I want to tell you something else. And I told him the story that I just told you. And he was so appreciative of that. And he chimes in. And he's so educational. And he started teaching about what was happening there. And I said, well, I told you before, I don't know whether it's a gift of wisdom like I've said here. I'm not sure whether it's a word of knowledge or discernment or whatever it is. I just know it's God.
Amen.
And he laughed, we embraced, and I left. Well, that continued even to today. When I got the message from Ed, the technician, and in the book of Psalm, where I was reading it, let me just read you the scripture here. Psalm 90 says, Lord, you've been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight is like a day that had just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They're like new grass in the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. Our days may come to 70 years or 80. If our strength endures, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom.
Amen.
That really spoke to me this morning. When I consider all that I shared with you, we should be about understanding God's action and what's going on with Him and the way it relates to us. And from that, we get wisdom. I sent out an email this morning to the people for the fellowship breakfast. And I talked about the fact that so many times we have to make an effort to learn something. And once we learn it, we have to deliberately make that happen. But then there comes a point that we don't have to deliberately do it. It becomes part of who we are.
Amen.
We just think that way. We act that way. We influence that way. I compared it to the athlete. They say the game slows down for that athlete that has mastered the things he needs to do. He doesn't have to think about running out to short left field, the shortstop, to make a play that's amazing and do a, and I'm thinking of Stansby right now, the shortstop from Braves, as I saw him go out there and make a play and turn and throw that ball. One bounce, it was to Freddie Freeman, and he got the guy out. Unbelievable. But he didn't have to think about that. It was an instinct. We, as followers of Jesus Christ, should develop an instinct that we don't have to wonder what to do. We know quickly what to say, what to do, and how to act. It should be so much part of this that we can't resist it. And we will not have to emphasize it in a way that is unbelievable. You ever seen somebody emphasize something that you're not sure whether you believe it or not? They put so much into it. It'll be something that is so natural that they're afraid not to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have it within us. And we can never escape that once we chose to follow Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We're empowered with that favor that I talked about, Greg talking about, to where that favor enables us to recognize God quickly and to follow His direction with the action that it takes to fulfill our purpose in His plan. Because we've all got a purpose. And I don't have to try to be like Hines. I've already got a Hines. I don't have to try to be like anybody in this room. Jeff does his thing. I don't have to be like him. I don't have to go to the mission field, Jeff, because you're going. You know? The things that I've walked down the hall and said to Stacy, wisdom that he imparted to me, and I'm saying, man, why didn't I think about that? Because God put Stacy in my life to make me think about that. Mm-hmm. It's through other people so often that we understand God's direction. But it starts with accepting Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And we make that choice. Do we just want to accept Him and be sure we're going to heaven? Or do we want to be an influence? What do we really want to do? I believe if you get close enough to God, you'll understand the purpose for you in God's plan. And you won't be happy unless you're fulfilling it. Let's praise the Lord again.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Larry. I'm Heinz Wegener, and this is the Norcross Fellowship Luncheon. We've met pretty much every week since 1985. The purpose is to provide a platform for a businessman to share his faith and how that works in the marketplace. We try to remain denominationally inclusive and politically neutral and just keep the focus on Jesus and how He's impacted the life of a businessman. Our main speakers are always businessmen that profess Christ, that are not in full-time ministry and currently employed. And we've had a wonderful time over the last, how many years is that? About 34 years of Jesus bringing us speakers like He brought today. Stephen had no idea he was going to speak a month ago, but he came to this meeting. Next thing he knew, we were sitting at the table. But anyway, he can tell us the rest of that story. Also, Larry was mentioning the talk by Greg Haswell. I was not able to go there, but I saw it online, and I downloaded the audio, and it's about expectation of good. And Greg believes, and I do too, that if we think God is kicking our butts and trying to tweak us, and we've got the wrong God. And if we follow that voice, we're not following God. In fact, Greg would say, and I agree, we're following the devil. So if you're interested in this CD, they're all free. You can download them on their website, too. Also wanted to share briefly, Tony Webb spoke last week. I've got some CDs of his talk and other talks. They're all free, so help yourself in those. And I'm reading a great book by Bill Johnson called Releasing the Spirit of Prophecy, and which he says goes through testimonies. And that God reveals to us how he does things by how he's done things in the past. And so I was reflecting on that, and also that when we're doing what God wants us to do, there's joy in it. God is a happy God, and we're going to be happy when we're doing what God wants us to do. And he also says this, testimonies also counsel us by revealing the nature of God and the principles of how he moves. The anchor core truths in our thinking is that we can see impossible situations from heaven's perspective with conviction. Our resolve to grow in the knowledge of him and his ways is the key to wisdom. Listen to this now. Real wisdom is not something you can get apart from relationship with God. And guess what the devil's done? He's gotten God out of our education system. How did we let that happen? And so we're educating people without the benefit of the wisdom of God. Anyway, that's a little preaching there or something. I don't know. I'm not running for anything, by the way, except for Jesus. So, if you're here for the first time and like to introduce yourself, just stand, and I've got a word for you, Richard, before I introduce the speaker. Stand where you are, give us your name, where you work, how you found out about the meeting, and if you're in a job transition, the kind of work you're looking for, and not sure anybody's here. Anybody for the first time? Oh, you're pointing? Did Jeff buy your lunch?
No, actually, Sean.
Okay, Sean, well, that's good. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead and stand and introduce yourself.
Hello, my name is Nick Drake. I'm actually a realtor with Virtual Properties Realty.
Awesome.
And I'm partnering up with Sean, and he invited me to the luncheon, so I figured I'd give it a shot and see what it's about.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Good to have you here. Thank you. One of the other things I think God speaks to us in our quiet time or sometimes just as we're doing things is prophetic words he wants us to grab a hold of. And I believe in my quiet time today, I felt like God told me to tell Richard, you're going to have 10 times the business you've ever had in the past very soon, and maybe this year. And I believe God spoke that to me too. And we've had some pretty good years. We've been up to $4.5 million in sales, and we're not there this year, but that would be $45 million for us. And just to say also that when something comes with God's anointing, there won't be stress, craziness, fear, anxiety, lack, none of that stuff to go with it. So I'm believing for it, Richard, and maybe we'll see. I believe that's the word from the Lord. So, okay, I think we're ready for our speaker.
Yes, sir.
Can I make an announcement?
Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, he's talking about books. Let's see, not about the history person, but if you're going to read a book today, it's published. It's called Dark Agenda. It will tell you how the Supreme Court has taken over the bread in the school, Madeleine O'Hare, talks about when it started, Margaret Sanger. Dark Agenda is by David Horowitz, and I can pass it around if you want. It will enlighten you. Now, we're all a little bit elder and all of us younger, but I did not know what was going on because I graduated in 67. The Supreme Court judgment was in 62, and that was because of what was going on in 50. Right, so if you want to know how it all started and where we are today, it's Dark Agenda. Highly recommend you to read it. If you want to know the foundational problems we have today, by David Horowitz.
Awesome. Thank you, Tony. Are we back on the air, Craig?
No, he said yes, sir. What he just said answered the question that Hannah just asked. How do we let that happen? And I said, my goal is not being this one of those special prosecutors that is looking into
Yeah, it just occurred to me that how Satan has taken over our nation, and we're just standing by and letting idiots do it. I'm sorry, that was not a political statement.